Not sure what's going on with federal funding for public media? Our quick guide has straightforward answers, the latest updates, and ways you can make a difference. Get informed at WSHU.org.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from around Long Island Sound. Governor Hochul touts a pending law that would mean tougher penalties for criminals who wear a mask. Connecticut's AG says he needs more money to fund lawsuits against the Trump administration. Plus, nearly one in five Connecticut lawmakers are landlords. What that could mean for future policy. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and WSHU's Molly Ingram reports some Connecticut legislators want to update a state law that forces insurance companies to pay for care.
Governor Ned Lamont says calls to the 211 hotline, which connects callers to mental health, addiction, and housing services, were up 30% last year.
We want you to come forward. We have a 211 hotline. Any questions, any doubts, any worries, you call that hotline.
But barriers to counseling and treatment still stand. Advocates, including Attorney General William Tong, want the legislature to strengthen the state's mental health parity law. The bill aims to keep insurance companies from restricting mental health services any more than they restrict surgical or other medical care. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Governor Hochul is touting a pending law that will mean tougher penalties for criminals who wear masks. Jimmy Vielkind reports.
Standing in the New York City subway, the Democratic governor says police will be able to hit criminals who wear masks with an extra charge. Some Jewish groups concerned about anti-Semitic attacks were among those that pushed for the change. Hochul says the pending law will increase public safety and hold criminals accountable.
That's important because we've seen in the subway people masking themselves, trying to evade the cameras that we put in place.
Long Island's Nassau County already has its own masking restrictions. Opponents say broader bans crack down on free expression. Hochul says the pending law will be adopted as part of the state's $254 billion budget. It's already a month late. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vielkind for the New York Public News Network.
Connecticut Attorney General William Tong has filed a dozen lawsuits against the Trump administration. Now he says he needs more money to fund them. WSHU's Isabella Fabo reports.
Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont's two-year proposed budget would cut $1.5 million a year from the Attorney General's office. Tong says it's a never-ending avalanche of work, and he needs all the help he can get.
People look to me and to Connecticut for leadership and to lead. I can't lead on cases as much as I think he should if we don't have the resources and the woman and manpower to do it.
Tong says he's asked the state's Appropriations Committee for more money. The committee's newly released proposed budget plans to restore that money to the Attorney General's office. It also includes an extra $500,000. Tong says he's lucky that larger blue states like New York and California have his back. Isabella Fabo, WSHU News.
There are more landlords than there are renters in Connecticut's General Assembly. Coming up, a conversation on how that could affect housing policy going forward.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
Classical music is alive. It's thriving because of contemporary artists responding to our evolving world. I'm classical music host Emily Boyer, and I'll connect you with today's top artists, plus music from the past that speaks to us now. Let art help you make sense of it all. Join me weekday mornings, streaming at WSHU.org and on the WSHU app, and on the radio at 91.1 FM and 107.5 FM.
Crescent Duck Farm in Aquabog is back to selling ducks again after losing practically its entire flock to avian flu earlier this year. 3,000 birds kept at separate locations during quarantine could also be on the menu if the farm gets a clean report this week.
New Haven-based biotech firm Arvinas will lay off 131 workers in June, most of whom work in Connecticut. The company employs more than 400 people. Just over half live and work in the state. The announcement comes after the company scrapped plans for a new complex on College Street. Amazon is in contract to buy 26 acres of the long-struggling Sunrise Mall in Massapequa. This week, the Nassau County Planning Commission approved for the property to be divided into four parcels of land. An attorney for the mall's owner says there will be no immediate demolition of the main mall building. A strike at Electric Boat could begin May 18th. That's the date union workers set if a tentative contract can't be reached on pensions, cost of living adjustments, and more. About 300 members rallied in Groton yesterday. The New York City Fire Department says three 9/11 first responders have been denied medical treatment by the World Trade Center Health Program. This comes in the wake of staffing cuts by the Trump administration. Michael Barish represents 9/11 victims and survivors. He says some of his Trump-supporting clients tell him they feel betrayed.
They are scared and they're dismayed that the man that they supported has allowed Elon Musk just take away their health program, which was promised to them by this president.
Barish says he's hopeful the cuts will be reversed. The program screens first responders and other survivors of the attacks for cancer and respiratory diseases. The rehiring status of the program's top doctor is still in limbo a month after the White House said he would be reinstated. There are more landlords than there are renters in Connecticut's General Assembly. How could that affect policy? WSHU's Ebong Udama spoke with the Connecticut Mirror's Ginny Monk, who's done in-depth reporting on this. The conversation is part of the collaborative podcast, Long Story Short.
Why did you decide to look into whether being a landlord affected Connecticut lawmakers as they craft state policy on housing?
So this is something that particularly tenants' rights advocates have asked me about every legislative session for the past couple of years. And I think this year in particular, we heard a lot of discussion from legislators about their personal experiences as landlords. So I decided to dig into it by looking at their financial disclosure reports.
And what did you find?
Based on the reporting from the financial disclosure reports, about one in five Connecticut lawmakers are also landlords. And this varies a lot in scale. So some folks only rent out one additional property, one rents out nearly 60 properties. And there was also sort of a variety in how thoroughly people filled out the forms. So some people listed LLCs that own rental properties, but didn't list the individual properties on their forms. So there's still a good deal unknown, but I think we are able to quantify at least a bit how many lawmakers are also landlords.
You didn't take into consideration that many lawmakers are lawmakers that have landlords as clients as well, right?
Right. So many lawmakers are also lawyers, like you said, who have landlords as clients. And then we also didn't count the number who are involved in real estate, which has some obvious ties to the landlord industry.
Now, you talked to some of the lawmakers. What did they say?
So it was really a wide variety of responses of how much lawmakers thought that this influenced policy. Some, particularly Democrats, said, yes, absolutely, this is influencing policy. It's making bills that are favorable to tenants difficult to pass. It's watering down these bills. And then some said, of course, landlords should be lawmakers. They have expertise in providing housing.
Yeah, you mentioned Rob Sampson, the ranking Republican on the committee, and he feels that his experience comes to bear when he makes his decisions, and it's important to have that experience.
Yeah, and he's one who often mentions during particularly public hearings and public debates his own experience as a landlord with some good tenants and some not so good tenants, and he's opposed many of the bills that tenant rights advocates have championed.
Well, thank you so much, Ginny.
Yeah, it's good to chat with you.
Ginny Monk is the Connecticut Mirror's housing reporter. I'm Ebong Udama.
For
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. Give us a follow on Instagram for some behind the scenes here at the station. We're at WSHU Public Radio. And as always, send any thoughts or story ideas to us via email. It's news at WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day and have a wonderful weekend. I'll speak to you on Monday.